Let's see, a couple medical updates. Kyle Nelson threw in the ACL today. They put together a game for him. He threw 24 pitches and felt very good. After his last outing, the timing and command were a little off. And you know, self-admittedly, he felt like he wanted to get that just right. I talked to him yesterday, and we came up with the game plan to get him one more outing. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow. Get him back here as quickly as we possibly can based on how he's feeling. Caleb has rejoined us. We had a couple of moves yesterday, obviously, sending out Jordan Luplo, who's been somebody that's helped us win some baseball games, and he's done a really nice job and at different points in time in this year. Sending him out is not an easy situation for any of us, but it's just the right thing because we felt like getting him down to get some consistent at-bats was going to help him get back into a rhythm, and it's up to him. You know, if he goes out there and bangs a baseball, which is an easy bet, and probably most likely a sure bet, he'll find his way back here to us. And then Tyler Holden was also sent out, and those two moves were for Caleb Smith and I don't know, some other guy. Corbin Carroll. On Corbin, really excited to have him here. It's a story of development. First of all, drafting an incredible player. Kudos to the boys that got after it, scouted him, drafted him, signed him. And then he gets into the system, and you could tell quickly that he was connecting dots at a different pace than everybody else. And then unfortunately came up with a shoulder injury that was very uncommon, but he handled it in a very common way. He went out there and gained information about what he could do during his downtime. Everybody knows that he was here watching a ton of baseball games, so he didn't get too far away from it. He kept contacts with everybody, and just, you know, the baseball experience never got too far away from him. So heading into a very healthy 2022 season, he got off to a great start, migrated all the way to AAA, and this is a story that's it's exciting for all of us. It's a special day for this organization. And I explained that to him, and he's accepting of that. And I just wanted him to be aware that this nervousness and anxiety that he was possibly feeling is natural, and to absorb it and accept it. But at 6:40, it'll probably wear off and trickle off of him, and he's gonna go out there and perform the way he has his entire career. So we're super excited about today for him.
How do you plan on using him?
Well, he's been playing all three outfield positions. He's playing two at a time. In AAA, not two at a time, but he played.
That's amazing.
Two. 6 out of 7. He's that good. He can play two at a time. 6 out of 7 days, and he's splitting his games up, two in each position, in the outfield, and all three outfield spots. So we feel comfortable putting him in every spot. So I'm just going to get him out there today, read and react, and just let him get his feet under him. He's playing right field today. I talked to Josh Barfield. It was either going to be right or left, and he suggested that Stone in left and Corbin right would be probably the best combination, and I followed that. I trusted that, and we'll see how it goes. We have five really good outfielders. We have four left-handed hitting outfielders that I've got to figure out playing time for them, but they're all going to play. How much and what it looks like, I don't know at this point, but I'll figure it out.
Are any of those guys going to be an option at first base?
No, will not. Emmanuel Rivera will be our backup first baseman.
So, Thor, this is the kind of lineup problem every manager dreams of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of really good young players, and, they've been coming. They've been migrating here for a couple years. It started with Dalton Varsho, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago, so, and Pavin Smith. So we've been very well aware of what player development has been pushing towards us, and this is a great situation for a manager. You know, we have young players that are very engaged. They trust their coaching. They play the game full throttle. They understand the concepts that we've been laying down on them for the past 3 or 4 years inside of player development. It all overlaps. Look, we do something. I'm sure organizations are doing it all over the place. We do something very well here. We create a limited barrier. There's always a built-in barrier between levels, especially between AAA and the big leagues. But we try to eliminate that barrier so when young players walk in here, they haven't met their manager for the first time or their general manager for the first time, or it's not the first time they've stepped on this field. Things have overlapped with Corbin Carroll and everybody else that's come here. So we try to crack through that transition as quickly as possible because it's challenging. It's hard no matter what you do. And I think, you know, all that time that we spent with these kids and gone over to Salt River and watched them, they're not nervous that the major league managers watch them. They're going to have that built-in anxiety because they're a big leaguer. Hopefully that takes care of itself and they go out there and perform.
How big of an impact do you think Corbin using his time to sit with the scouts had on his expedited timeline getting here?
Yeah. I know that he probably saw the pace in the game. He was asking some really pointed questions about why things were happening here versus what would happen at the minor league level. And I think he understands that this level is, you're built to win. You're not built to develop. And I think that was a big thing that he was able to see when he was sitting in the stands. It's about performance, getting the job done, taking care of your brothers and being a good teammate and helping your team win a baseball game.
With a right-handed pitcher on the mound, would Corbin be batting somewhere other than eighth?
I don't know yet. He's hitting eighth today because I want to give him as soft as landing as possible. So I don't want to give him too much, but I don't know what that answer is. I don't know where else he'll slot in against a righty at this point.
You've probably been around some pretty hyped prospects before in Boston, I would think. What are some things you can take from those experiences to help him to have those kinds of soft landings?
Have the soft landings, yeah. Understand that we have to be patient. There's going to be some growing pains no matter what. And, you know, just to be available to him, answer the questions that he asked with great detail, explain to him why things are happening. And he's just a sponge. He's always been a sponge. It's the first day I met him. He asked incredible questions. So I think that takes care of itself. But, yeah, you know, soft landing or not, I mean, he's in the big leagues. He's got to perform, and he knows that. And then maybe just not give him too many responsibilities other than going out and playing baseball. And I explained to him that it's okay to get up from a conversation with you guys or a conversation with a teammate. I've got to get going and move out of this space to go get my pregame routine taken care of. And everything should stay the same. So that's something that's really important to me, that they don't change when they get here. And that was my main message to him. Just be yourself. We know what time you go to Starbucks in the morning. We know what time you get to the ballpark in the morning. We know what your first round of BP looks like. Do it the exact same way here.
Tony, talk a little about the decision to put Cooper as the backup catcher.
I think that was built out of necessity, and then we've been pleasantly surprised with how well he's done. He's been a great student for Jeff Bannister. He's been getting some incredible instruction, and those days when he's not playing, he's not wasting time. He's continuing to work at it. Jose Herrera was here, and we felt like he wasn't getting a lot of at-bats, and it was interrupting his development. He hadn't played a lot of baseball this year, and we felt like for him to get to where he needed to get to as a potential major league player, he needed to play a little bit more. And in that space, we didn't really have a perfect backup catcher, but we knew what Cooper's background was. Player development got ahead of it for us, and they started to play him. I think he had caught several games prior to arriving here and said that it was very good. Once he got here, we've been pleasantly surprised. The development is continuing. Once again, he asks why a lot. And I think getting those answers is pushing him along daily.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the advantages of calling up someone like Corbin in the very start of a homestand?
I don't know. I got to think about that. I think, getting him here quickly is and getting him in the lineup for me is something that I learned from a manager that I played for. I don't know. I think it's exciting for the fans, probably. I don't even know what today is, right? I think today might be like, what, day of the week?
Monday.
Monday, right? Okay. Every day's a Monday. Every day's a Friday. So it's the first game of the series, and then you can just kind of plot out what you want to do for the next 3 days. It's an advantage for me. But for him, I think it's just another baseball game. I don't think it has anything. It's not going to be any different whether he's playing in Amarillo, Reno, or Chase. He's going to go out there and perform at a very high level.
Tory, catching follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
clearly for the rest of the season, Dalton Varsho would only see time behind the plate in an emergency situation, the way things are structured now.
Correct.
Has the organization closed the door on him becoming a catcher again in the future, perhaps next year?
Fair ask. He will also play on the back end of games if we need to switch out a pinch run or something like that. So he will come in from right field. You'll see him potentially play late in the game. As far as starting a game, we decided that we're not going to do that for the time being. We're going to back out of that and have a discussion this offseason about what the future plans are. He's a tremendous athlete. He can handle a lot. But I know that he's excelling in right field. He's enjoying his time in right field. And we don't want to interrupt that for right now. So it'll be a discussion for us all, have, for everybody to have this offseason.
And then one other question. Alec Thomas, is it safe to say that on the days that he does play, he will be in center field exclusively?
Very safe to say that, yes, correct. Okay, thanks, you guys. Yep,
thank you. Story. Okay, Steve, I'll be waiting for that story. It's the lead. That's not a story.
All right, somebody just took my phone.
Really?
Oh, here it is. Remove one.